Yeah, bro, I was talking about being rich at 18 so crazy because I've been 18 and I didn't have no money.
Yeah.
And I know the things I would have did if I did have money.
Listen, I remember being 18, having no money, and still doing dumb shit. So like,
bro, like, like the dumbest shit too.
Bro, the dumbest shit, yo, listen, on no budget. Like
now you got $7 million. You got $2 million in your account. And you 18 years old, and you finna go to the league.
That's just crazy.
Bro, shout out to Vic.
Shout out to Vic, man.
Shout out to Vic, man. But welcome back. Episode 17 of The Show About Nothing, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Here with my dog, my brother from another, you feel me?
Sure.
Ish, checking in, me and this bitch. You know what's up. So, let's jump in straight into it, man. Y'all know what happened last night. We were recording as of January 30th. So, the AFC and NFC Championship game just happened. And y'all know what we finna do, man.
So, gotta get the pod out.
We're gonna talk about Patrick Mahomes forever. So let's go ahead and get the, you know, the 49ers and Eagles out the way.
Yeah, the regular one.
Alright, so first off, I would like to apologize for all the 49ers fans, anybody that put money on this game. I would like to apologize to Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, life cooking too fast. I'm not apologizing to Kyle Shanahan just yet. Just for what I texted you. I'm not sure. I got some people working on that behind the scenes to figure out what must have happened.
So maybe not to Kyle Shanahan, but definitely Brock Purdy. Prayers up for your torn UCL 6 months. But shout out to Jalen Hurts.
Shout out to Jalen Hurts, man. Year
3 black quarterback in the Super Bowl. Yes, third round draft pick. Said you couldn't play. Said you couldn't start.
$100 million. Back it up. Cut the check.
Guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
Guaranteed. Yeah, so, what did you see yesterday that gives you confidence for them going to play the Chiefs? We don't really have to talk about too much of the game yesterday. We know they looked dominant. The 49ers couldn't play. Like,
right.
But boy, we was in for a treat. Them first two possessions was like we was finna get one.
I wasn't too down on the Eagles. A lot of people were down on the Eagles for their performance. Yeah. But about midway through the third quarter, I think it's important to like take a step back in these super big games and check on where teams are in important spots.
Yes.
And versus the best defense in the league, quarterback 70%. It's been a tough ass half. Mm-hmm. You still had 31 going into the third. Like you're still that's the best defense you're gonna face all year.
No question. Not even a question.
And listen, did Devontae Smith catch it? They gave him the yards. You know, listen,
he caught it.
They have the challenge flags for a reason.
He caught it.
So I was impressed in how well they ran the ball in the red zone. Mm-hmm. First of all,
right.
Versus the best defense in the league, the holes in the red zone, which are the hardest places to score, were huge. I could have ran one of those Miles Sanders touchdowns in. But what we saw and what we knew going in was the wide receivers outside, they were going to have to win consistently, separate. And like we said in the pod, like I said in the pod last week, this isn't going to be a game where, you know, you're wide open.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw the ball. 100%. Make sure you have good leverage.
100%.
50-50 ball. I need you to come down with that. And, yeah. You know, they did, so they made the plays.
Yeah. Exactly. So the same way, bro. All around dominant performance. I don't know how you're complaining if you're an Eagles fan after seeing that. One, like you said, one, Jalen Hurts is not 100%. They talked about it on the broadcast yesterday, saying that he admitted it. I'm not 100% going into this, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He looked like he was not 100%. He missed on a few deep balls that he's been hitting on all year. They didn't run him as much as I think they probably would have if he was 100%. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't running as hard as he was earlier in the season.
And listen, the Niners hit hard.
You know, they hit very hard, and that is no fault to Jalen. I'm not complaining about that or anything. So I'm saying from what we saw from Jalen and how we know he felt, I think that's an A-minus performance. I think an A-plus performance would have been maybe a few more turnovers.
Yeah.
Maybe a big play touchdown or a couple of them.
Right.
But other than that, you're nitpicking. So I think that's an A-minus performance from the Eagles. On the other hand, in San Francisco, bro, like I said, I'm sorry. Like, I was so excited for this game. Mm-hmm. And like I said, them first two possessions, like, we was going to get a war. Like, 14-17 game. We said it was going to be probably low score, 17-20 game. So, but Brock Purdy gets a torn UCL on the second possession. What you going to do, bro?
Like,
shout out to Christian McCaffrey, though.
Hey, life coming too fast. Man, sometimes, you know? Hassan Reddick just rip your elbow. Second drive because you started throwing when you shouldn't have. You know, this
is exactly.
Life pitch would come at you fast. The CMC touchdown was just incredible.
Incredible.
That was so different, man. I love seeing. I was thinking during the game before it even happened, like, man, I'm so happy to see a player like CMC who's accomplished so much actually get a chance in the playoffs to see what he could do. And it was, yeah. He almost played QB damn near. Like,
man, you know. he did everything he could for them. Bro. Yeah. He did everything he could. I real quick before we do jump to the Chiefs and Bengals. The 49ers have one issue. And we all know that it is. No, that's just quarterback.
Right.
So, if you are the 49ers, what are you doing, bro? Because you got to solve this problem. Are you running it back with Jimmy G? You going to give Trey Lance his chance? Are you looking at Christian McCaffrey like, maybe two more years of his prime? You looking at Debo like, maybe two, three more years? You looking at Fred Warner? That's a tough position. Luke Kuechly, I don't even know if Luke Kuechly played 10 years maybe?
Nah, not even.
I think it was nine. Yeah. I think it was 9 years. So it's like, how much longer Fred Warner really going to be there and in that shape?
Pat Willis, same thing. Exactly. Listen, we've seen this movie before where they have a world-beating defense, and that is my segue into why I did not want to say I felt bad for Kyle Shanahan just yet. Because I had some people on this. Because we just had to figure out what possibly could he have done. And I don't think it was Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Until the 49ers do right by Colin Kaepernick, they will be cursed at the quarterback position. And I've seen this a bunch of different places. I really had to think.
Mm-hmm.
Since they've gotten rid of Kaepernick, have they been able to get at least a quarterback that will play well? And then do they stay healthy? And every single time, something happens. So I think John Lynch and the 49ers organization needs to extend the olive branch to Colin Kaepernick. Because I have, outside of something supernatural, like a curse, I've never seen luck that bad for somebody. I've never seen luck that bad for Kaepernick. For you to be on your third string QB already, and then he rips his elbow the second drive, then your fourth stringer comes in and he gets a concussion.
To the point where your now third stringer, who cannot throw the football further than 2 yards, has to come in.
Right.
And you are down 31-7 running the football.
It felt like it's like a Twilight Zone episode where like the devil gives you these gifts, but you just can't win a Super Bowl or something like that. You're the best play caller in the NFL in the third quarter, down a couple scores. And you literally cannot throw the ball. You literally cannot throw the ball even if you wanted to.
That is sick.
Because you do not have a quarterback on the entire roster. It's mind-blowing.
So, are you putting all your cards into going to get Lamar?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to Brady?
Are
you running it back?
I'm going to kick the tires on Brady for sure. Because I don't think they'll want to pay what Lamar is going to cost. Not just solely the contract, but what other teams are going to be willing to offer to get him out of Baltimore.
100%.
I think the Jets are going to offer more. I think the Panthers are going to offer more. Falcons, Bucks if Brady leaves. It's a bunch of teams that are willing to just...
And the cap just went up there.
I think like $19 million, which is... Hey, that's a linebacker. You know, it's a lot of things...
That's a linebacker and a corner sometimes.
Exactly. So I think I would kick the tires on Brady for sure. But if you can't get Brady, I would put it in Lance and Brock Purdy's hands. I would let them rehab, let them both come back 100%, and have a QB competition in the summer. I mean, we spent $50 million draft picks to get Trey Lance. We picked him over Justin Fields, who at this point has been a much better player and would have been a perfect fit for this offense, especially because you want to run your quarterback anyway. You should have gotten a bigger, stronger, faster one. But
what an easy decision.
What
an easy decision. Wow.
It's so weird that you were the second best quarterback in that draft your whole life. Like, even going back to high school.
Like, you were the ninth grade.
You were the no doubt second pick of whatever draft you were. And in the 2 months where you did not play football, you became the no doubt second best player on the board to a project quarterback. So, you know, with them picking Lance over Fields, you know, you really, especially what you paid for him,
mm-hmm.
you know, you really have to hit on that pick, because it's really hard to overcome missing out on a top five pick.
100%. So the only reason I slightly disagree, because part of me was thinking today, like, all right, you run it back with Brock Purdy. He just went 7-0. Well, I'm not even going to count this game. He just went 7-0. He comes back, and you know, at the very worst, you're going to win your division. At the very worst, you're going to be second in your division behind maybe a resurgence from the Rams. Mm-hmm. And maybe Geno gets them better after year one. So, at no worst, you're the second
best team. If he returns.
If he returns. Right. No worst, you're the second best team in your division. And you know you're going to make the playoffs. And you know with the defense you have, you're going to win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So, you're confident in your ability to at least get to the divisional round just off the back of Brock Purdy and your defense.
Facts.
Trey Lance, you don't know.
That's a fact.
As much as you think you know, and as much as you think you've seen in practice, mm-hmm. until the lights touch down in front of you on a Sunday night football game, on a Monday night football game, on a playoff football game, you don't know. Right. You just don't know. So, that brings me to the one guy we do know about. Mm-hmm. And he has 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't think you have an option at Lamar because of exactly what Ish just said. I don't think they will have the money. They have money tied up. Debo, Fred, they're going to want to. If they haven't paid Fred, they're going to want to pay Fred. Christian has a contract. They have to obligate. Ayuk. They're obligated to. Ayuk, they're going to need to pay him. They're paying Kittle. It's just too many guys to pay what they need for Lamar. So, now maybe they're crazy and aggressive and they go do it because they gave up everything to get Christian McCaffrey. So you never know. Yeah. But I'm going to say that's the least likely thing they do. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, the closest you got was an overthrow.
You were so right there.
The closest you got was an overthrow. Mm-hmm. Every year since then, you've been in the NFC Championship. Every year, and have not met to one Super Bowl.
Nope.
You're walking to the NFC Championship just like Patrick Mahomes is.
And every time without a quarterback.
Every time.
Yep.
So if you go get the guy, and we can talk about how Brady looked washed, Brady looked slow, Brady looked this, that, and the third. Dog. He can hand it to Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell 30 times a game. Mm-hmm. Throw 6 screens, and now you got to ask him to give you a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
2 good drives in the fourth. Every game will go like that
for them. Yep.
Every single game will go like that for them. And then there's one more thing. You're not getting away from 15.
You're not.
You're not getting away from 15, bro.
He's everywhere.
So even if you get to the bowl with Trey Lance, mm-hmm. even if you get to the bowl with Brock Purdy, Jimmy G couldn't do it.
Nope. Jimmy G was up 10 in the Super Bowl with less than 10 minutes left and the ball. And they lost that game in regulation. They lost that game by more than one score in regulation.
Yo.
It wasn't even a one-score game.
Listen, you're going to have to see 215. I'm calling it now. The Chiefs will be in every other Super Bowl. They're going back next year. I want you to know that. They're going back next year. And after that, it's going to be like every other year they'll be in the Super Bowl. You're not getting away from them. So your best bet is to go get the one guy you know can beat them. The one guy who the bright lights don't give a matter to. It don't matter to. He don't give a fuck about. Game-winning drive. You need a 10-point comeback. He can do it. You need a 17-point comeback. He can do it. Because you got the defense. You got the running game. You got everything.
Yep.
You got the fucking kicker.
Yeah. Fullback.
You got the fullback. Bro, you even got a fullback. You got the best.
They have the best fullback in the league. And don't know why I use them. I can butt them.
The quarterback. Until you go get him, y'all going to be in the same boat every year. Oh. So, that's my rant, bro. You got to go get Brady. Because I don't think it's nobody else that can do it. Mm-hmm. The love and the love of my heart for Cam, no. No. I saw a couple 49ers fans. The only reason I'm bringing it up was because I saw a couple 49ers fans say, like, we should have signed Cam earlier when Jimmy got hurt. Even if Brock Purdy was good, like at least we had that instead of Josh Johnson. And I'm looking at that thinking like, hey man, Cam made $150 million.
You know? Yeah, that's Cam.
You ain't getting him to back up a 7-1. That's not that. He said no to that. Yeah, even if they offered him, he said no.
That's Cam.
And I I don't think at this stage in his career he's good enough to go win a Super Bowl. So I won't even think that. Could he game manage a team to 11 wins and a playoff win? Maybe. More than likely, you put the perfect piece around him.
I'm not gonna lie.
So what they need to do, to
he's as we've gotten older for sure, and I think on our show we talk about it specifically. Mm-hmm. It's only like 10 humans on Earth that's good at QB.
Exactly.
So even if you an older one, but you at one point were a good QB, mm-hmm. I give you more of a nod because like
I know.
Exactly, because you can shit. Andy Dalton played had a couple of good games just because he knows how to play QB.
Exactly. Like. So I can't say that they have any other option other than to go back to Brady. If we gonna love the 49ers again next year, even if they stick with Trey Lance or Brock Purdy, we gonna be talking about them just like we were these past few weeks. But we're gonna get here. And it's going to be January 29th, 30th, or February 1st, January 31st of next year. And we're going to be doing the show. We're going to be like, same old story. Yeah. If you don't go get a quarterback. Now, to the best quarterback to ever play football.
Ever.
Yeah. And we have been saying this since his rookie season. Mm-hmm. I'm not joking. Again, I wish I had this show. We have been calling.
I damn near might have a tweet. I ain't gonna lie.
We have been saying he's the best ever since 17. His rookie year was 17, so 18 because he started playing the second year.
No. I think he hit 17 and 18. Yeah.
Yeah, 17 and 18. Exactly. Yeah. So since that moment, we've known he's the best quarterback ever, and it wasn't hyperbole. We were dead serious. Last night, I think he confirmed it. He won this bowl. He's dead ass the second best quarterback ever. It's him. It's Brady than him. And I'm not fucking joking. I'm not joking at all.
It's so crazy, bro. Because yo, I said this about a month ago. This really was what it was like to watch Jordan. This must have been what it was like to watch Jordan for real, bro. Because I'm even during the game, I'm in disbelief almost. And how fucking good this nigga really is, bro. Like, the first touchdown was disgusting. Under pressure, he's moving around and just flicks it across the middle. He's throwing the DoorDash drivers. Every receiver on the Chiefs get hurt all at once. Like, people don't understand. And I really wanted to mention this because when you lose all that personnel, you're not just losing the players. You're losing all the plays that these niggas know. So in that second and third quarter where the Chiefs were only in two formations, that's why. Yes. And as the game progressed, more people got hurt. Like if they all got hurt in the first quarter and you have time to go into halftime, install things, do like stuff like that, that's different. They're getting hurt in the third and fourth quarter where you don't have time to teach this special teams tight end the formation.
In week 20.
In week 20 versus the best, versus what is the might be the second or third best team in the league at worst.
Exactly.
It was
he's special, bro. He's special. So
and I feel so bad for Joe. Because Joe played a hell of a game. I think he made one or two bad throws.
It was the two picks. Like the two picks were his worst throws. Like and the second pick wasn't even that bad of a throw because it was a punt. And it was like he didn't have anything underneath. So exactly. He took the shot. And it was there, actually. He underthrew him.
It's the same exact play he hit to Jamar. Mm-hmm. And credit to Jamar as well, because he makes it look a lot easier to beat a bracket on fourth down. Man, listen, that might be one of my proudest things we ever. I might gotta put that shit on a shirt. If I could, I would throw it to a LSU receiver every play. Every play. He caught it, and I'm like, man, why did they have Jamar one-on-one on fourth down? They showed a replay. Oh, no. He beats the bracket on the way out. Like, it's and credit to how hard it is. T. Higgins, hell of a receiver. He's about to get a max contract somewhere. He couldn't do it.
No.
So listen, it's a much harder throw. If you can't separate the way Jamar did to make it a one-on-one, the throw wasn't perfect. It needed to be perfect. It got picked. We talked about it last week. You know, I expected Kansas City to do, they did.
Everything, bro.
Everything.
Oh my God, bro. I was watching the game like, yo, every single thing we said they needed to do, they're doing, bro. They doubled Kelsey all game. Yep. They every time he went the block, they held him.
Yep.
Bro, I was like, yo. Amazing. They ran the ball. Like, yep.
That's why Mahomes is so great. And we ended the show, last week like this. I said, man, Mahomes, he is the answer to these questions. That's what Mahomes and these great players are to their teams. And not to say that those problems don't exist anymore. Yes. They just don't matter.
Yes.
Mahomes is the answer to what's going to happen if we don't have any receivers. Or we can't run the ball. Even Pacheco got hurt. Like, every single thing that could have went wrong for the Chiefs went wrong.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes.
You know, and yes. Listen, they got too cute early. Eric Bieni. I love it. You can kind of tell when Eric is calling plays mm-hmm. and when Andy's calling the plays. Mm-hmm. You know, hook and lateral and shit. I thought it was cool. Listen. Travis was a little low on the pitch. That bitch might have scored.
No, that one might have scored.
Yeah.
That
like, might have
went for me. Yeah. That was incredible.
But you can tell after the game exactly what we said.
Exactly what we said.
Them niggas hear y'all. Them niggas hear y'all. And y'all want to talk? Listen.
They hear y'all. They hear
y'all,
bro. And so, down to the game itself, man. 15, you're the best ever, bro. And I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Brady is the GOAT, and he deserves to be named the GOAT because he won 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He, to really be the GOAT, and be serious about it, I say he probably got to get to 4 at the clip he's shooting. Like, if he had 23? And if he had 4 and 26, yeah. It's like, all right. What's up? Like, it's whatever.
To put it into context, he's 5-for-5 right now on AFC championships at home. Like, he still has not played a road playoff game in his life. He doesn't even know what it looks like. It's either at home or it's the Super Bowl, so it's a neutral site. And he's done that 5 seasons already. And he's just coming off doing it in a year. They were supposed to be rebuilding. The entire defense, secondary, new, O-line, new, wide receivers, all traded away.
It's 3 rookies in a second.
And shout out Sky Moore, shout out Pachenko. I was just gonna rant.
Valdez Scantling.
Listen, shout out and listen. MVS boy.
No cap.
And he, I know MVS boy. I'm super satisfied, man, because MVS got to experience the difference.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers traded in. No. MVS traded in his Benz. To go get that new G-Wagon. It's, you know, they both MVPs. It's just a little something different in there. It's just a couple extra features you weren't ready for. Where he's shredding one of the best playoff defenses we've seen with MVS and these free agent wide receivers, like the stats going around. He had 24 tackles and 4 catches in his career. The number 80 whatever with his arm brace. He looked like a tackle. It's men. And Mahomes is just running around. And the last scramble, man, what's his name? Osai. Listen, a lot of people killing him. But I get it, bro. I really get it, dog. I really get it. Because you know what I made me think of?
What?
And not to say like this is him in that situation, but when Michael Jordan mushed Reggie Miller, like he just launched his shit. And you know what, man? Some niggas really just that good. Where you been playing great shit? Osai was playing his ass off.
Yeah.
He get out the pocket. He see Mahomes get that first down.
He saw red. No pun intended.
He know, right? He on one ankle. I listen, and to life coming at you fast. We should call that this like listen, Brock. Life coming at you fast on the side. Life coming at you fast. Blew your knee trying to push out the MVP. You know, maybe you just gotta let them kick a 60-yard field goal into the win. I mean, I don't know.
Makes sense. All right, so I will start at the play and then we'll go backwards.
Yeah.
You got to be better than that, bro.
You got to be better.
It makes me sick. It makes me sick, seriously, bro. And I know you're 22 years old, second year player. Like, I know, I get it, bro. But it makes me sick because you have to have some self-control, bro. You have to.
This is...
7 months of work, bro. Like, this didn't happen last week, bro. That's why I be feeling so bad, bro, for these niggas, bro, because this has been since June, July, in the off season.
Yep.
We in the summer and June in Florida.
Yep.
Getting working in California, getting working.
It's like his lives.
Eating right. I ain't shit normal about my life. Everything different. To get to this, bro. To get to this one moment.
Yo, bro. Listen, I like what you're doing. I don't want to cut you off. Like, niggas like, why Tom Brady throwing shit on the side? Like, that nigga ain't had a burger in 12 years.
Bruh! is changing a life patterns for this, bro. Like,
why LeBron so upset? LeBron ain't got a soda since he came out of high school, my nigga. Like,
LeBron was sponsored by Sprite and could not have it, bro. Like, they worked their ass off for this since June, July, August. You going through the summer practice, through the heat, 2-a-days, watching film, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. You're talking about a full-time job, bro. Like, the quarterback, Burrow, Chase, they in the weight room at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, leaving the building at 9, 10 o'clock, watching film. For you to do that, bro. Like, and, like, niggas can talk about, like, you don't understand his momentum and all of that, but no, bro. Like, you know what's up, bro. You know what's up. And it's not even like it was a close call. If it was some shit niggas was on here on today, like, man, they shouldn't have called that. Right. They really shouldn't have called it. It would be different. But you were out of bounds.
Yo, like,
you were out of bounds.
Man,
it's like, not like you were surprised. Right. You were out of bounds yourself, and you still extended your arm. It's not like you ran into him, tried to catch him, and then they called a flag. You extended your arm, bro.
And,
bro,
look who you're pushing.
Look who you're pushing.
Hey, yo, if he, listen, on the punt return, if niggas push Skymore like that, cool. If they call a flag on that, niggas want to get up in arms about it, I get it. Fam, you are pushing the MVP of the league on a bum ankle. 5 yards out of you. It's a, listen, what makes the clip so bad is a teammate of his is standing out of bounds just looking at him. Because the play is over, nigga. Like, your teammate's just standing here looking at you.
Knowing what you just did, bro.
Man.
You turned a 60-yard field goal or a play in a. Because they didn't have any timeouts.
Right.
The timeouts were gone.
It's either a 60-yard field goal or it's 8 seconds first and 10. And listen, that's my homes. He may throw a 50-yard touchdown.
That's what I said. I was like, bro, maybe with 8 seconds left, Kelce work his magic and get an out route for 20 yards and they win anyway.
Exactly.
But like Kanye said, we'll never.
Exactly. And listen, I said that bitch was going into overtime. They punt the ball. I'm 1,000,000% thinking, oh yeah, this ball's going out of bounds. We're going to get 3-4 plays. No, you know, let's go to overtime. We're gonna check the first box. Which, since DeSean Jackson ran back that punt, I don't know why niggas are still punting the ball. That would have been the last time I ever punted to a nigga in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Punt the fucking ball out of bounds. Your defense has been the best defense in the fourth quarter in like the last 5 years for the playoffs. Let your defense do your thing. But nope, you punt the ball in bounds. Skymore gets 30, 40 yards. And, you know, Joseph Asai just decides, I'm going to push the face of the league in front of the world. Like, and dare the ref to call it. Maybe he saw the Laker game. He saw the Laker game. Said, fuck it, I guess they're not calling that shit on Coach no more.
Man. Okay, so. We watched an incredible game because Joe Burrow did not play bad. And you can say he did, but he did not. He had a bad pick early in the game, but like I said, the late game pick wasn't a terrible pick. Mm-hmm. And from a coaching standpoint, I would not say Andy Reid outcoached that team. I would not say that. I would say maybe Andy Reid called a better game. You could get that off, but outcoached, no, he did not.
Right.
Those boys was ready to play. We had a great game, and this game was going into overtime. I had no doubt about that. I don't believe that they were about to get 15 yards. That Bengals defense is really good. They're very disciplined. I don't think that. I think a potential 55-yard field goal, not a 55. They would have, 55 by 5 yards in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That kicker was nice. He could have hit a 55-yard field goal, but I was sure that game was going into overtime with 8 seconds left and no timeout. So, and I don't know if the Chiefs win that game, if it goes into overtime.
Exactly.
Because of how well that Bengals defense was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, them having, and that's another quarter for Patrick Mahomes on that ankle, bro. And it was hurting. It was hurt towards it. It was getting worse as the game was going on. You could start to tell in his
mind. And I love that they keep us, I love football weather. Football weather. Y'all know I love football weather. And they keep us updated throughout the game, how cold it was.
Yes.
It was like 9 degrees at halftime.
Yeah.
That cold set in on that ankle. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple of long drives in the fourth quarter.
Down.
It's stiff. And another thing, like you just said, literally, they're running out of bodies. They're fucking running out of players for to play the game. Mm-hmm. If you make it into overtime, you have such a great chance of getting out because they really do not have anyone left. Mm-hmm. Like, people returning kicks, if they get hurt, would change the face of the game moving forward for them. Like, yeah. It was, man. You really hate to see it.
You really hate to see it, man. So, from the Chiefs standpoint, I was very impressed how they managed to keep Kelce involved in the game. And yeah. Like we said, you had to hold him a couple times. He never got off the line of scrimmage, but yeah. A couple times he was able to spring free, beat the double team, find the open gap. And part of the reason why Kelce does get open is because he is a former quarterback. He understands coverages better than most players do for yeah. quarterbacks. Most better than most players, let alone quarterbacks. Most players do. So he is able to see a coverage as a quarterback is coming to the line of scrimmage and be like, all right, it'll be open here and here.
Right.
And him and Patrick Mahomes have incredible chemistry. Sure, watch film together and things yeah. like that. So Kelce had a great game, but this game does not happen without the help from Valdez Scantling.
Yep. Over 100, I think.
He played such a big role for Patrick Mahomes in the second half because he made it to where you had to respect the deep ball.
Exactly.
And that is what Kadarius Toney was bringing. That is what Mecole Hardman, who went out early in the game, was bringing.
Got crunched.
The deep threat. And that is another great layer to their offense of why Kelce is open so much is because you got a safety 40 yards down the field on first and 10 because you got 4-2, 4-3 guys out there.
Yeah.
So they, Valdez Scantling was able to keep that deep threat alive, which has allowed their offense to stay in the same pattern they were. But as yeah. you said, a lot of this was Mahomes just answering questions we don't have answers to.
Yeah.
A lot of it was him just working his magic and him. The offensive line, I do want to give a good amount of credit to.
For sure.
But that defensive line played their ass off.
Right.
That defensive line, that
the Bengals defensive line, the entire Bengals defense just hard at niggas.
Yes.
Except Eli. Everybody else just comes to work hard. It's beautiful. I love even watching it. I think the play ended up blowing dead. I don't think they ended up running this play, but I love this. I forget what happened, but they didn't like the ball. But it was a defensive line front change on third and long where they brought their DT, moved him out to the end, brought a linebacker in to replace him over the middle, and had Sam Hubbard drop back about 5 yards right before snap, and then Mahomes didn't snap it. And then Sam Hubbard sat up and fam, they just rotated the D in up here to be a QB spy. It's creativity. It's great football. It's really great football, man.
Yeah. It was an excellent thing. It was beautiful to watch, but Mahomes was just picking them apart because he is the best quarterback ever.
Just better.
But on Joe Burrow's, and I think Joe Burrow played a good game, but I'm not going to lie, bro.
Yeah.
I think the pressure got to him.
Listen.
And I know nobody wants to say it because he's cold. And y'all start putting these labels on players, and from their actions, y'all don't call shit what it is.
Yeah.
The pressure got slow. That underthrow, that ball that got picked by T. Higgins, as I said, that pass was there. He was trying so hard not to overthrow him because he knew he needed that.
Yeah.
He knew he needed that pass. He knew that that was distance. He knew that was game on the line. He knew if he complete this.
Yeah.
He know everything that's going through his head. So he's trying so hard.
Yeah,
not to overthrow this ball.
I'm really glad you said this.
That he underthrew.
Somebody has to be honest. It's always going to have to be us.
It's always us.
Because punt the ball for 2 minutes, that game should be over.
Yes.
That game should be done. Mahomes should not touch the ball again. It's a very short list of players I would be comfortable even doing that with.
Mm-hmm.
And it damn sure Joe Burrow was not on that list before that.
No.
But, you know, this is a bottom line business for sure. And this is why I love the NFL. I've never been an NFL's great guy because Nicky's got to lose. Somebody got to lose. And it just looked like, it really did look like the moment was just a little too big.
A little bit too big. Your team did a little bit too much talking. You had a little bit more to back, a little bit too much to back up.
And listen.
Just a little bit.
You know, I don't fault his decision making. The only thing I would have said is, I'm fucking going to Jamar one more time. I'm going to Jamar one more time.
Can't blame you there. But I will say this, man, about Mahomes again. Do you know that there are only six quarterbacks in NFL history that have been to more Super Bowls than me? Six.
That's crazy.
Six. He is the second youngest person to win a Super Bowl. He is the first quarterback to host five straight AFC Championship games. And he is 27 years old.
Oh, he's, listen, I don't remember these stats up. He's first, these are playoff rankings for players in the NFL for quarterbacks. Minimum 12 games. He's first in passer rating, completion percentage, yards per game, touchdown to interception, passing touchdowns games, and touchdown to interception. He's number one in all those, per game. He's number one. And that's just, it was crazy. It was just a normal game for him.
Just another day.
Over 300, that's the average. Two tugs, that's normal.
That's the average.
Over 100 passer rating, like it was nothing. He was out there like it was a Madden league, and you put a trade on MVS. Like, he's just doing it. It is the best defensive league. Listen, Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs, couldn't fucking figure it out. And that is the difference between to Chrysler. The fuck you, like, and Brady used to do this too, where we would go play the number one defense in the league, and Chris Hogan would go for 225, throwing to Dan Amendola and all these no names. So listen, please give me a break with Stephon Diggs yelling at you on the sideline. Yeah, he should be fucking mad. Like he should be pissed.
So I do want to ask you this. And the Bengals are excluded from this conversation.
Right.
Because they have what it takes to beat the Chiefs.
That's fact.
In the AFC, you're looking. And I'll exclude the Bills from this. Because I think their OC away are like a little running back away. So I'll leave the Bills. Bills and Bengals are excluded from this. Everybody else in the AFC, you're looking at the Chiefs. And for that sake, you're looking at the Bengals. And you're saying, all right. We gonna have to see one of the two or both of them every single playoff for probably the next 10 years before any injury to Alright, so if you're the Ravens, your answer is probably keep the defense how it is, get Lamar two receivers and run it like that.
Exactly.
Everybody else, what are you doing? Because Justin Herbert, you're worried about his character, his issues. Maybe Kellen Moore does issues. Kellen Moore is hired as an offensive coordinator, so maybe he wants
to be with him. Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore was like, all right, but I'm going to be a quarterback who passed to my team.
Nah, he finna, the Chargers offense finna look nice, but like, does he got beat Mahomes?
But he's still the Cowboy coordinator.
Exactly. So, and does Herbert have the it to go through Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes in one playoff run, or one of the two of the three, one of the three. Does he have that? I don't know.
And Trevor.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And Trevor. Trevor, I'm looking at the Jaguars like, you got to build that defense to stop 15-9, and you got something working, because I don't think that boy y'all got a quarterback is no slouch. I just think you need to keep pieces around him. Mm-hmm. But, like, how do you answer this question of, like, we got to go beat this guy?
Yeah.
Or are you looking at it like, damn, like, it's Brady. So you're just looking at it like this Brady.
So it's like Brady again, and the blueprint to beat him is the blueprint that was to beat Brady. And the best way to look at the blueprint would be look across the conference to who's going to play them in the Super Bowl. And historically, the best ways to build a team is you need to get a QB, rookie deal, and then take that QB and surround him with as much talent on that rookie deal as possible. That's why the mismanaging of Lamar is such a big deal. Because in these early years when your QB is cheap, you can afford to have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Bradbury, Slay, Fletcher Cox, and Dominican Sue. All these stars, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, the list literally is endless of help you can have, because you don't have to pay 40%, 50% of your salary cap to just one person. Mm-hmm. So teams in that early window need to be as aggressive as possible. Like, you see the Niners not paying their QB shit, went out and got Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Teams, Cardinals, wasn't paying nobody shit, went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, all these things. So if you're a team on an early window, like Jacksonville, Not the Ravens anymore, but they've done enough to gather talent in office already, except for wide receiver. But they don't have as many holes as other teams. You want to maximize that early QB, you know. He may not be the best guy. He may not be a superstar, but we can win there. Mm-hmm. But if you're Miami, you don't sign Tua. If you're any of these teams that are not sure, and you don't got the guys around him, you can't afford to be the Andy Dalton of the 2000s, where 5, 6, 7 years of your franchise are just tied to this, you know, this guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you're, so you, they, I think teams like the Jets, teams like the Jags, teams like the Chargers, who are on that early upswing, they need to be as aggressive as possible because, you know, Brady and Tom, Brady and Mahomes have, I think, been like the last 14 AFC Championship games down there. Some crazy shit like that.
Yeah.
But on the other side, listen, it's a revolving door. You know, sometimes the Ravens get through, sometimes things like that. And those teams who do get through, they are not because their max quarterback just figured it out that year. No, they had a super fucking roster and they maximized their window. So if I was in the AFC, I would be really trying to take 4 or 5 year windows with these teams and maximize the talent. And if we get 3, 4 years in and we don't got any world beaters there, you might have to hit the reset button a little earlier than you would if you were in the NFC.
And I will say this. Do I think this is going to happen? No. But Brady did go through a little something for 6 years.
Yo, listen.
He went
10 years without a bowl.
10 years. So, you never know.
Right.
You never know. But that's not right. So,
it's really hard doing it in the NFL.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
I'll let you have Patrick Mahomes. But
All right. And shout out Patrick Mahomes Senior. Shout out you, my nigga, bro.
My nigga,
they be trying to play you. I fucked with Nicholas at the game, had all this shit on. Y'all need to get him and Ja Dad in the room.
I will say this. Seeing him made everything make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all got that from that.
Yeah.
But seeing Patrick Mahomes that, I was like,
hey, did you hear what he said? Did you hear the clip?
Yeah.
I was like, man.
Everything makes sense.
He was like, yeah, my son did what he always did. I was like, man, how long has he known his son was the GOAT? He was not excited at all. He was like, yeah, he just did that shit.
Okay. Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, I wonder what stories he know. Like, man, 8th grade, isn't that good? Crazy. They go with for 8 tubs.
Nah, he probably got some stories, but let's get to it, man. The Super Bowl, Sunday, greatest Sunday on earth. Shout out to Rihanna.
I'm slick
for that.
But Rihanna shut that shit down, bro.
Rihanna gonna shut that shit down. So shout out to Rihanna again. But Bowl, Eagles, Chiefs, your prediction.
Yep.
I predicted Bengals, Chiefs, but I said I was wrong. So I get a little slack for saying I'm gonna be wrong anyway. I did think the Eagles were going to win the game regardless of what happened, but I'm sad it didn't have to go like that. But shout out to Taylor Hurts. Shout out to all the Eagles over there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. Yeah. Shout out to Black History Month opening up with the first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks.
Hell yeah. Hey, shout out to all my Eagles. Listen, I know so many fucking Eagles fans. Shout out to all the Eagles fans.
Shout out to all the Eagles fans. Shout out to all the Chiefs fans. And shout out to me, Ish, for predicting all of this.
That's a fact.
And shout out to Arizona for getting to watch this. So, what you got, bro? A powerhouse on defense.
Oh, this is
the best football player ever.
Yeah.
And one of the best running games in the league versus a run defense that isn't great.
Yep.
And rookie corners.
Yep.
And two number one receivers.
Two dogs. Yeah.
What you got, man? What you got?
I got the Chiefs by 4. I ain't gonna lie. Listen, the line came out. I think the Eagles are -2. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles are no doubt a better team top to bottom. I think at some point we'll rate the players in the Super Bowl. Sure. And, you know, the Eagles have most of the veterans at almost every position.
Yes.
But earlier I was like, you know, this is what it was like watching Michael Jordan. And to beat this team, it's going to take a GOAT performance. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I mean, this is just what this nigga does.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember him playing the 49ers the first time. where I was looking at the rosters like, damn, you know, 49ers seem kind of crazy. But, you know, people just find ways. The Eagles this year, very interesting season when you look under the hood. Best QB they've placed all year, Trevor Lawrence. And it's, you know, football's a very fast game. If you're in NFL, you're a great player. QBs, not so much. But, you know, you can still play. But going from the level of QB they've seen to, listen, 2 weeks off, kick that ankle up, get some rest, potentially a 100% Mahomes, you know, I don't know. And 2 weeks is a very long time. Mm-hmm. Kadarius Toney, the little, you know, rub the ankle, Mecole Hardman, get some rest. I really think this is going to be, you know, 93 Jordan. Like,
okay.
Where it for him to beat this team, it's going to take what he did in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl.
Yes.
The difference is they've learned from that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They've seen that, okay, we can't survive offensive line losses.
No.
That is something in the playoffs that we can't get around because that is the one thing we can do that'll affect most. Yeah. If we literally don't give them any time, there's nothing he can do. But this Chiefs offensive line, to their credit and to the Chiefs' credit, has been one of the best in the league. They protected Mahomes really well. And I think if his receiver score, his receiver core, you know, is moderately healthy, that him and Trav, this got to be it. This got to be it. And I argue with a lot of people about Travis Kelce Gronk because I still have Gronk my best tight end ever. It'll take a lot for Travis to pass him. But, you know, I was arguing with him literally just yesterday. And I said this then and I mean this now. When we needed Gronk versus the Legion of Boom with no number one wide receiver, he was there. Mm-hmm. Tub, hooping.
Yeah.
He was. Big plays.
He was.
Trav, you got to be there today.
Oh, run action.
You got to be there, bro. Because, mm-hmm. Mahomes is going to need you versus the Eagles defense a lot. Yeah. Because the Eagles offense, they're not going to be. I don't see the Eagles offense being slowed down a bunch.
No.
But I just think Mahomes is going to make enough plays. And Kansas City has so much experience on their side. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, not. You know, it's so crazy. Mahomes is a better quarterback. You know, do we get that? Like, he's 25, 26.
Yeah.
And he's the most experienced quarterback left in the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, 27 years old.
He called a timeout on, I think, second or third. I think on third down in the second half. And I was like, man, if that's like Brock Purdy or somebody else, I'm kind of mad you called that timeout in the second half. But Mahomes is a fucking veteran, so I don't even question it because if he got a call timeout, it's clearly something that they need to talk about on the sideline. So I think it'll go Chiefs. I think I got them. I think I have my four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay.
And I'm just not thinking about the Rams.
I don't. I'm real conflicted. I'm super conflicted, bro. Because on one end, bro, I know the Eagles got a better team.
Way better team.
It's not even a question, bro. It's not even a question.
Top to bottom.
And I would argue the Eagles have a top five quarterback. Yeah. I would say Jalen Hurts deserves to be in the top five quarterbacks right now after the season
he's had this year.
No doubt. I would say the Eagles have the second best defense. The best cornerbacks.
Yep.
The best cornerback duo is what I'm saying. The best cornerback duo, yes. One of the best secondaries. And
maybe the best front seven?
Maybe the best
front seven. And if not the best front seven, if you include their subs, it's the best front seven. Yes. Because they have eight pass rushers instead of just four or five like regular teams. But
Patrick Mahomes is the best football player ever. So I just don't know what
I don't know. Listen, man,
and thankfully I have time to think about this.
Yeah.
Because the Super Bowl is another week. And that's exactly why. I am like, I don't know what to choose because Patrick Mahomes has a full 2 weeks to rest that ankle.
Yep.
On the other hand, though, Jalen Hurts does have a full 2 weeks to rest his shoulder. And it's a situation as like, that's it. it ain't nothing left of
it. Sam, listen, listen.
I can rehab at the rate they know these offenses. I can rehab into next the first game of the season. Listen. Damn near next year. So shit. Like hey, I'll give it all for it. I'll die for this right
now. You saw I think Patrick Mahomes got 1 yard. Sometimes you just gotta be like, fuck it, and run right between the guard and your tackle because this isn't December.
It's not December.
Where the
it's
second and 10 don't matter. Like
exactly, bro. Every yard matters. So when I'm looking at it like that, I'm leaning towards the Eagles right now. I'm not gonna make a pick right this second, but I'm leaning towards the Eagles as of today, seeing both of those teams play yesterday. Because I do think, hold on real quick, Chris Jones, we told you to stand up. We told you they weren't gonna be able to win yesterday without you. Thank you. You played a hell of a fucking game.
Shout out Chris Jones.
In the second half, they couldn't run the ball because of you. You was going from DN to D-tackle, DN to D. They couldn't stop you. Shout out to you, Chris Jones.
And then Frank Clark, too.
Frank Clark had a phenomenal game.
Frank Clark is third.
And shout out to your interview.
Frank Clark is third all-time in playoff sacks ever. Damn. He's third ever. He's like two behind.
So shout out to Frank. So the reason I'm thinking this game will be close is because of that front four of the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I think they will give Jalen Hurts a little bit of issue. I know that Eagles' O-line is the shit. It's the best in the league, no fucking question. Yeah. But they're going to give him a little pressure, and I think that will affect him. Where they do scare me is on the back end with all of them rookie corners. Adrian Brown and Devontae Smith are dogs.
Yeah.
They're real dogs.
Yep. Right?
And with the where's the word? Creativity with the Eagles offense, bro, I don't know how they'll stop them. Yep. So I realistically think this could be everything the NFL wants in a 38-45 Super Bowl.
Bro.
I really think it could be that high scoring.
It's
because I don't see how the Chiefs stop them.
Yeah.
But on the other end, at every moment and every step of Patrick Mahomes' career, nobody has just went somewhere and blew him the fuck out.
Exactly.
So I don't think that's going to happen. I think even if the Eagles get up 17-3 or 17-10, he's going to claw his way back in that game. So, like I said, I'm not going to make a pick, but in between the trenches, as most football games are, this game will be won at the line of scrimmage. All them passes going to look cute. All of the trick plays, the read options, all of that is going to be cute. The big throws, but that game will be one at the line of scrimmage because either one of two things are going to happen. The Chiefs Eagles are going to be able to run the ball down the Chiefs' throat and control the clock.
Yeah.
Or the Chiefs will be able to stop them from running the ball and make Jalen Hurts drop back 35 times and have a shootout with Patrick Mahomes.
And then they just throw passing touchdowns. Yeah.
What you want.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts, I don't want you to say you can't do it. I realistically think if Jalen Hurts dropped back, he can give you a 350, 360, 70 rushing yards and 4 total touchdowns. I'm not doubting that boy at all. That's why I'm so conflicted because as much as I believe in Patrick Mahomes, when the quarterback carry himself in the way Jalen Hurts carry himself, I can't help but believe him.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. And Jalen Hurts is such a composed play. This game is a lot like the Eagles, a lot like the Bengals Chiefs, but the Eagles have a much better defense.
Yeah.
Almost at every level. But I really want to, listen, we do the what would we, how would we game plan?
Mm-hmm.
So we did that before this game, before the AFC Championship, and I put a lot on them rookies.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen,
you're
going to have to, and they did exactly what we said they were going to have to do. No free releases. Y'all will have to win a lot of one-on-one matchups.
Yes.
And outside of the one-on-one matchups that y'all win, when they do go in the brackets, you're going to need to be opportunistic with that because they are going to take those chances. And I want to shout out to Steve Spagnuolo for sure. But Steve Spagnuolo, and I did not know this until I watched the broadcast. He was the defensive coordinator for the Giants when they beat the undefeated Patriots.
Oh, okay.
So
that changes a lot.
Listen, this guy.
That actually changes a lot.
And it's really interesting to watch every year how the Chiefs' playoff defense look versus their regular season defense. And I think it's gotta be him, Chris Jones, Frank Clark. It's gotta be the same song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get Jalen Hurts off his spots. They need to rush in lanes to not provide him opportunities to hop out the pocket.
Right.
And they have to be opportunistic on defense. Mm-hmm. Especially with a player like Mahomes, it changes the way both teams play around that player. Mm-hmm. Because the teams know, I just need one.
Yes.
I just need to get you up. You know, I just need to tip this pass. I need to get this pick. I need to do it. If we can just get you one, we're right back in it. So,
and that's another thing we actually said last week, is Patrick Mahomes only needs one. He needs one. So, they got him two last week. They got him two yesterday, I mean. Yep. So, that's another big reason. I don't think they won the game. They got him two. And I think the momentum shifts over a pick, over a punt. So, I talked about that, the last throw Joe had, and I was like, it wasn't terrible because it was basically a punt. But the momentum of the pick versus the punt is a lot different. And that matters, especially when the Chiefs are at home with that crowd. So, another thing I wanted to bring up real quick for Jalen Hurts is he is the seventh youngest starter to second youngest quarterback to start a Super Bowl, and he will be the third youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl if he does accomplish this.
Right.
So this is some very, very, very high stakes games, and a lot of records are on the line.
Yeah, rarefied air.
Rarefied air, for sure. Yeah, so way better words than what I just used. but I have a question. Mm-hmm. And this was something a lot of guys would talk about that played in the NFL with playoff games. When you do win a 31-7 playoff game, you start using week 1-8 playbook after halftime.
Exactly.
Like after halftime, it was like, all right, let's go to our basics, the shit I know the Chiefs got.
Exactly.
So I am very interested to see two things. One, what else they have, what layer they peel back in the next 2 weeks of their offense.
Yeah.
What do we look at and they open up in the playbook? All right, like, we've been saving this. Are we pulled this out once every 4 games or something like that for Jalen? Right. What are you doing to make it as easy as possible on him? And two, I am very interested to see what in-game adjustments they make against the Chiefs to be able to run the ball effectively, because if you were watching the San Francisco game, the San Francisco was doing a fantastic job at stopping the run. But the Eagles started pulling guards to go down, because San Francisco did what we were talking about and started sending people off the edge. So when they ran a read option, Jalen had to give it, and then the defense in him was already smashing. They did that a couple times yesterday. They would just send the guy on the edge, and the defensive end, even when he was blocked, they would send the guy on the edge a couple times. So to counter that, they started pulling Kelce, or they started pulling Lane Johnson. So I'm interested to see in-game what they do to stop, because I do think you're 100%. Spagnuolo's going to have the boys ready to play, and he's going to watch enough film, and they've been watching enough film to know, all right, these are what their go-tos are, and this is how we're going to contain this.
And I'm also
interested to see how they counter that.
And also, a storyline that we'll hear, of course, as we get closer to the game, is Andy Reid's time in Philadelphia. He also coached Mike Vick, where they ran a lot of read option. Yeah. Andy Reid, one of the best call play callers ever, knows a lot about the read option, run fits, everything there is need to know about read options.
He
would know. That's why this matchup is so interesting, to see what counters they come up with, what personnel they try to use. Because a lot of what the Eagles do is not just overwhelming talent, it's great scheme combined with that, where they put you in positions where you have to do something to stop this.
Yes.
And once you do that, there's a counter to that they get to naturally. Mm-hmm. Where they make you be spectacular or perfect every play. Shout out Nick Bosa. I definitely want to shout out Nick Bosa. For the play he almost made on the goal line, almost got the safety. Played both players on the read option. Like, they put you in positions where you need to be superhuman to consistently stop them every time.
And similar to what I've said the past, ironically, 3 weeks about Brady, with the "I'm gonna hit you every single play," and like I'll explain that a little bit. If you haven't listened to the past few shows, Brady, if running back is open on the 5-yard out, he's gonna throw that ball 15 times in a row if he
got to. Yeah,
the same way with the Eagles. If this have that power is here, I will run this ball down your throat for this whole possession.
I'm gonna swing the guard, dude.
I'm gonna swing the guard through every single play. I'll run it 3-4 plays in a row, drop back the pass, get back to my run game 3-4 plays.
Hey, and listen, Drake, that 49ers defense, best defense in the league. They play defense different. It's beautiful to watch. But fam, listen, that guard swing through.
One too many times, man.
I watched Dre Greenlaw make that business decision.
And also, you got to think, bro, that was, they were 31-7.
Bro, listen.
When they lost.
They know what was up. They up 21.
Josh Johnson, the quarterback. What are we doing out here?
It's an all-pro guard swinging through at me. You know.
I got next year to look forward to.
Even if I take on this block, somebody else got to tackle Miles Sanders. Like, I might as well just let him go. You know, I feel it, bro. You know, it's really, it's super different. I'm interested to see what you said, but kind of the opposite. So with Mahomes, with them knowing Mahomes was hurt, right, and the Chiefs, all their players going down, we really never, you know, we didn't get the full Mahomes playbook for the AFC Championship game. Now Andy will have a full 2 weeks to possibly give us a full Mahomes playbook with no restrictions on the movement.
Right.
Miko's coming back. MBS looks good. Kadarius Toney looks good. It could be a completely different offense. And the Chiefs really, you know, Mahomes had to put them on his shoulders.
For sure.
And scrape through the Bengals up three. But, you know, I don't want it to be lost that they beat the 49ers by like 40 midway through the regular season. Because,
yeah,
you know, these games, you know, this is outside the norm for Mahomes.
Yes.
For it to be a 23-20 game, you know, it could be, you know, it could get up there. It's exactly what you're talking about. What Roger Goodell, what everybody wants to see, where it's 35-38, you know, walk-off field goal. A.J. Brown go for a couple. Devontae Smith go for a couple. Like,
that's what you want to see.
Exactly.
Mean, you get a 27-24 game and Rihanna coming out.
Yeah.
And you still got another half. It's like, golly. And look at that.
Wow. You know, we have so much time to make our picks. I want to get a super, like a way too early. Outside of like Mahomes or Hurts, who do you think could be like, you know, searching for a Super Bowl MVP?
All right, number one on both sides. I'm gonna give two players from each side. Travis Kelce, Chris Jones on the other end, Devontae Smith. Not Adrian Brown, Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
And on Hassan Reddick. Those are the two guys. I think in the Super Bowl, playmakers win them. So it's like, yeah, you can choose one of the slot receivers, one of the guys. Yeah. But no, it's the playmakers. The guys you are always looking to. Like OBJ would have won it last year, Cooper Kupp ended up winning the playmaker. Aaron Donald would have gotten the playmakers winning. So I'm going to go with the playmakers from both teams, and I think Travis Kelce could very well have because the Eagles linebackers are not fantastic in coverage.
Right.
And I haven't seen – I don't know.
Come on, bro, from UGA?
No. I don't know if they have the balls to do this. And I might not do this into the second half. But I might tell Darius Slay.
Oh, follow.
No.
Listen, I like where you're going. And as a former Patriot, we put Brandon Browner on tight ends to start the game. I have Slay on him if Kelsey's on the kickoff return team, I want Slay out there on the kickoff coverage.
I'm telling you.
And listen, because
especially with these injuries,
Travis wants to run around. He wants to do this wide receiver stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're gonna put it. Listen, I would play him inside out, like we talked about. If he's on the inside of any play action, the play ends for you at the line of scrimmage. We're not going to let you out.
Exactly.
You know, you wanna come out. You want to be on the outside. You want to move around. All right, great. We're going to get every play. I want to make sure either Bradbury or Slay is on him.
Mm-hmm.
At no point do I want a linebacker on him. And I would take my chances 1,000,000% more putting I can't believe I'm forgetting bro name from UGA, the linebacker. N'Kobe Dean, one of the fastest linebackers on the league. I 1,000,000% put him on someone, on one of the, you know, a different weapon that the Chiefs have, whether it be a running back or the wide receiver three in the formation or the tight end two, then just have him on Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce is not a normal tight end.
No.
And conventional things need to stop being trying to use on Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
He's not a conventional player.
It's
a clip on Twitter. This guy is so fucking mad. Like, how does Travis Kelce get free releases? It's the red zone touchdown he got. Well, if you slow it down, which, you know, the regular people, they just can't. Because they just don't get it. He has a free release because first, he's the second player in the stack. And the route MVS runs, he's literally not even running a route. He's just starting the play and making sure his first step is right in front of Travis Kelce. Because you got to go through him to get to Travis. It's just great design from Andy Reid, great execution from Travis, knowing how to release on his routes, how to motion before plays. I would have Slay on him From the jump.
From the jump, okay.
But to answer my question, I think all yours was great. Travis, Chris Jones, Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith was definitely going to be mine for the Eagles offense. I love Devontae Smith. We were super early on Devontae Smith. Everyone was like, oh, he's too skinny, this, that.
Shut up.
Listen, can the nigga catch?
Shut up.
Can he catch?
And can he run right? Can he get open? What did I say? I said he was just going to be open all the time. What is he? Open all the fucking time.
Every time I look up, this nigga's wide open. But I'm going to go Slay.
Okay.
I'm going to go big play Slay. Because okay. He's going to have the opportunities. To win these games, you need your great players to make outstanding plays in high-tension situations. So I think there will be plays where he's on Trav, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, where he's going to have to step up and make the stop. And, you know, all year he's been taking the number one doing this. I think it's his time to solidify himself as one of the best corners in the league.
In order for him to get the MVP, he's going to have one of those games where a casual fan can watch the game and be like, oh my God, he's really good. Because the corners are hard to notice. Like, oh, he's really good. He would have to have such an impact on the game. He's going to have a pick for sure. If he gets to pick 12, 10, 11, 12 tackles in a game where just a casual fan is like, damn.
He's a Gilmore game.
The
last DB to do it was Gilmore, and Gilmore had a pick to steal the game. And he also has a couple passes deflected. And Slay, what will be going against him naturally is it's most likely to be a super high scoring game.
Exactly.
But if Steve Spagnuolo, one of the best defensive coordinators ever and one of the best defenses ever on the Eagles side, both lock this shit up, and it's 13-13 going into the fourth quarter, you know, someone like Slay would have a great chance of, you know, really having a chance to get that Super Bowl MVP.
How do you – last question. Before I say this, I do want to say Miles Sanders, too, because I could definitely see them handling the ball.
Shout out Miles Sanders. Because he used to be on my fantasy, he was on my fantasy team this year. And you really never get, like, you know, even when the season is, you're still kind of rooting for them niggas. Shout out Miles Sanders, man. I rolled the dice on Miles Sanders' contract year. Yeah. Listen, go get your fucking bag, Miles Sanders.
So, very excited to see this game. But before we get off of football, I do have to have a question about Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You changing anything? You worried about anything? You just running in the backfield? We where we at?
Cincinnati's new to this. Cincinnati's new to being one of the best teams in the league, so someone's need to sit down with Cincinnati's owner and explain to him what the luxury tax is and how he's going to be spending it for the next couple years because, you know, T. Higgins is going to be really expensive. And either you're going to give T. Higgins a really good deal because you got Sandro this year, you're going to give T. Higgins a really good deal, or you're going to trade T. Higgins.
Yeah.
And I would do my best for these next 3-4 years to do whatever I can to keep as many people here. But outside of that, I like where we're going. And you're just a couple plays away. You're a couple of flag away. Like, you know, I wouldn't over... Listen, it's really easy to overreact.
If you're a Bengals fan, you're looking at this game like, damn, if you don't get the penalty, we win.
Yeah.
if he don't get that one penalty, we probably win the game.
Exactly. So I wouldn't change anything. You're just going to keep getting better. I don't think Burrow's going to take a step back.
I don't either. I think Burrow will get better next year. And I think they'll open the playbook up a little bit more. I think Burrow will be able to make a lot more throws than he gets. Because Burrow can make a lot of throws, but his arm strength isn't the best. And he doesn't have the zip on the ball. Like he get everything there, but it's like, you know, when Josh Allen really throw a beautiful pass and the zip, Aaron Rodgers really let one go. He don't have that on him. So I think and Brady developed that over time. I think it's something
sometimes there's throws that are not open unless you throw it super hard.
Yes,
I know that sounds very stupid to say. Like, we're really deep into like the football breakdown and shit. But sometimes you really gotta throw the ball just harder than other throws. Like the first Patrick Mahomes touchdown, you really gotta put that bitch on the rope.
On the rope.
Because he's breaking in the same time the DB is breaking in.
Yeah.
You need to make sure this ball is gonna hit him on his inside arm and hit the ground, or it's not gonna be caught.
100%.
So I think he'll definitely learn. And like, I really just think they're gonna keep getting better. Jamar got hurt earlier this year, didn't have his best year, like numbers wise. He's gonna come back even better. Like, I think they're gonna be
Tyler Hayden Hurst another year. Like,
exactly.
I'm not worried about them at all. So, anything else you got left on football?
No, I think No.
Oh, the Jets. Patrick Mahomes is the best player ever. Yeah,
I don't think it's anything. I don't think I could ever see. Like, I can't even figure out the last time I saw him play a game. I didn't think he was the best player.
No,
like, I can't remember the last time. I don't remember thinking like that. Somebody else is playing right now a little better than him.
No cap. So, to basketball, just real quick, we gonna talk about this shit, yeah. Brother. Lakers Celtics. First off, I want to give a huge shout out to the NBA for Rivalry Week. That was a very good idea. I think the more you do that, that's gonna catch on a little bit more. Gives the players something to look forward to amidst the long ass season. So, shout out to the NBA for that. That was hard. Yeah. But Lakers Celtics Saturday night, excellent game. The Lakers have been looking decent the past few weeks. They gotta get healthy and stay healthy, and then we can really make a real prediction on them. But they have looked pretty good. LeBron, shout out to you, bro. We don't know. We know. Y'all know. You know we feel LeBron. But speaking of LeBron, obviously gets fouled.
Yep. Smack the shit.
And we'll start right there.
Yes. Smack the shit out that nigga, bro. I was watching that shit, and LeBron reaction. First of all time reaction.
All-time reaction.
All-time GOAT tantrum.
Shout out to you.
Nobody else is getting the latitude to get on your knees at the court and start praying. He went full, like, alhamdulillah, like, two knees down. Like, beautiful. And, you know, I'm on both sides of this. I ain't gonna lie. First, it's such an obvious foul. It's such an obvious, oh my God. The two refs staring right there. Ref could have reached out and literally grabbed the foul. Like, you fouled him. Like, that's it right there. But I'm saying, I mean, I watched you push KD in the finals in the game with a shot. You know what I mean? The game is the game, bro. And listen, I understand. And I watched Undisputed today just to make sure. Of course, I knew he was going to say it, but Shannon Sharp was like, man, listen, y'all tell him to do this all the time, and he don't because this is what happens. I was like, hey, you know, sometimes that shit's just gonna happen. Like,
hey, and you right.
Right.
You right, bro. That's why he doesn't go to the hole in a lot of games. Exactly. He don't get a lot of foul calls to begin with. He is, as much as he drives to the hole, and I have been on record, and I will say to the day I die, he's the greatest driver of the basketball in full court, half court we ever seen. Yeah. Giannis is cool, but it ain't nobody like Bron going to the hole. And he don't get the foul calls he does shit. He does not.
Nope.
Which is why you get a jump shot. Which he has. Which is why I think he should have took the jump shot. Which he didn't. Which is why they lost the game. So,
you know what it is? It's crazy. It's so beautiful, the parallel of this. Because we have in the league right now two greatest ever at something. Mm-hmm. And the same thing that happens to Steph is happening to LeBron now. Steph shoot the ball so well that sometimes when Ja Morant jump 5 feet and land on him, mm-hmm. I kind of get it. It's kind of not a foul for him. Like, you know, like,
bro, that's how they treat him. And that's how they treat him.
And LeBron is like, man, he's such a good driver. Like, I kind of get it. Like, they're expecting you to just make it anyway.
So it's like Steph fall to the ground and then he make the shot and he's like, I mean, like, what you want me to do? Like,
yeah,
like see?
Yeah, like, call it. And the refs this year, and I don't want to get too far from it, because, you know, and they are right. People are right to be upset because the refs this year have been, of course, historically bad, but they're always bad. They're always bad. It's always been that.
We always complain about the refs, but on to Patrick fucking Beverly.
Yo, man. Shout out to you.
I love Patrick Beverly. If y'all don't know, he's one of my favorite players. I love Patrick out Beverly. The mud, love his story out the mud for real. But dog, that nigga pulling that camera to that referee face is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen happen.
It is
the best technical foul you could possibly earn.
Nigga said, yeah, you see this, right?
Because it's not like that was his homeboy. He had to go ask bro, like, you got a picture of this? Like, he had to go find the photographer that had the picture to go walk into the ref.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, nobody stopped him.
Nobody stopped him.
While Bron was throwing his temper tantrum, Patrick McBeverly was going down the line of the cameraman. Like, yo,
you ever watch TMZ? You know how they be like, yo, who got the clip for this? Yeah. I feel like Pat Bev in that moment, talking to the reporters, like, all right, everybody, let me see your cameras. All right, zoom in. I don't like that. Let me see that one. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Comparing like comparing the shots. Bruh. Like, I don't like the composition on this. I can't really see his arm.
Bruh. And the thing about the cameraman is, like, how are you going to tell them no? Like, because they're in Boston. It's not like these are Lakers for time. They're in Boston. And Patrick Beverly's going to be like, hey, let me see your fucking camera. Yeah. Nigga.
That's how I know sports not. Listen, this is a regular season game. So, I mean, listen, that Boston reporter, I'll cut you some slack. That's the playoffs. Don't get that nigga in your camera. Exactly. Yeah, no.
100%. That shit is funny.
Rivalry week. Oh, damn. That's what I forgot for football. Is this the best rivalry? Is Bengals Chiefs the best rivalry in sports?
Yeah. Okay. In sports, no. In sports,
well,
no.
Right now, right.
And right now, yes, though. Yeah. In the NFL, no doubt. In sports, top three for sure. Yeah.
But like, dude, like the Celtics, God, don't give them your camera. Why are you giving them your camera,
bro? That shit is so.
You're on the road. I was gonna get that nigga. Yo, get the fuck out my face, bro. Like, hey, yo, they ain't calling. Yo, like.
Hey, shout out to them all the niggas.
Hey, bro. Listen, Paul Pierce get called for that. Paul Pierce getting called for that. Bro, I go into the library to look. That's Paul Pierce. I swear to God, listen. The minute they showed the clip, a Tatum smacking this nigga arm, I was like, see, Paul Pierce wouldn't even care. Paul Pierce probably got to grab a nigga on the shoulder. He don't have the type of hops.
For those of you that don't know, me and Ishaq, I've been having a Paul Pierce and Jason Tatum all week. I think Jason Tatum is going to be better than Paul Pierce, but I'm just saying Paul Pierce is, he's not better than Paul Pierce in his prime right now. But, yeah, we was just chatting on that. Yeah. So, on to the other conference with the Nets. I just want to talk about Kyrie.
Starter in the East.
Just some quick points for the NBA.
Starter in the East. We're
football heavy, man.
Starter in the East.
Shout out to Kyrie, man. You have been, boy, you something special, my boy. But it's not even I want to focus on Kyrie. I also want to talk about Nick Claxton because he is the key to them winning the championship. If Nick Claxton can continue with the pace he has and continue to get better, they will win the championship because of how good he's.
I really wanted to tell you this about Nick Claxton. I get it with George Warren. I get it with the Wiseman stuff. I get it. Because Wiseman was supposed to be on defense at least. What Nick Claxton has just woke up and become, which is a series changer, game changer, team changer defender who uses his length as best as possible. He is a person that you can tell, and this is why I love seeing players like this, where it's more than one way to be in the lab working on your craft. Everybody don't need to shoot 15 middies to become a better player. Nick Claxton turned himself into a non-threat on defense to one of the best rim protectors in the league. By becoming literally a better defender. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you saw the clip of him going up with one hand, blocking it with the other. Like, that shit is training. That shit is practice. Like, if you watch the best players to ever protect the rim, they're all doing the same things. Going back to Bill Russell. So I'm glad we shouted this nigga out. Nick Claxton, for sure. Do you think he's an all-star?
No.
I think he's close.
I think it's so many. It's guard heavy. It's so guard heavy.
Well, in the East, it's no centers.
No. For sure. Yeah. It's like, I definitely think they may give him the nod just because it's no other centers to choose from. It's like between him and Brook Lopez, and I think he deserves it over
Brook Lopez. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say that. I'm not going to be surprised if he's an all-star. But I just don't think with the way they be voting, let me see, because you got Darius Garland going to make it probably. You got Harden and Embiid
both probably going to make it. I don't even know how they do the fucking...
Embiid will be on the bench.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the rest of the East, bro, it might. Because, like, look at these teams. So, it's like, you got Garland, who missed a lot of time, but I think they'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Jimmy
ain't been playing. That's what I was getting to. Jimmy ain't been playing. Bam might make it over him, and they might give the nod to the Knicks players because they're Knicks players. So, but it's like, it's actually a lot better chance. Now that I'm looking at the team, this is a good chance. Yeah. But I think Halliburton is going to make it from Indiana. Pablo could definitely make it over here.
Shout out Pablo for sure.
But yeah, I don't know. But I would love to see him. I would love to see him. He's been hooping all year. He's been playing his ass off. But on to the West. Oh, the Warriors are the 6th seed right now.
Listen, hold up. I saw this morning. I might have been too early to jump ship on Minnesota.
Maybe.
Hey, man. Shout out D'Lo, man.
50.
I know, you know what? I figured out what type of guy D'Lo is. You know, he's one of our type of guys. It was a long summer. D'Lo was into some things he probably shouldn't have been in. I guess he'd take time to get back into hooping shape. But hey, they're the 15 right now. Like,
you see, man, things are coming together. Ant has been playing out of his mind. I would like to point that out. 21 hot fries, bags of hot fries a week. Shout out to my
that's
real West Side Atlanta shit. That's
it's only 7 days right now, in a week.
I'm not getting affiliated. Anybody that watches this that is, please.
It's 21 bags in a week. It's 7 days in a week. That's three a day minimum. Like,
that's nuts. But yeah,
I feel so, like, though, listen, I'll be getting them hot fry seasons. Like, it'll be them days. Listen, it's some food. There's definitely some food out there that you really don't eat unless you're in the mood for it.
Yeah.
Nigga, a bag of hot fries when you really want them.
Cocoa Puffs is it for me. That's how I feel.
Hell yeah.
Cocoa. I don't eat cereal. So, but when I want some cereal, it's either Trix or Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, Trix.
So, the one question I have about this real quick is do you see anybody really, like, challenging the Warriors right now? Because I'm just really not worried about the Nuggets in Memphis. Like, I'm just not. But do you see anybody else? And for those of you who don't know, I don't think nobody going to beat the Warriors. So, like, I'm a Warriors fan, so, like, same old story for me.
You know, I do think, the one that I would love to, this would be my dream Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And it may happen, mm-hmm. depending on Lakers' health. I think it'll be the Kings and the Warriors. I really think it'll be the Kings and the Warriors.
I knew you were going to say that.
I love the way the Kings are built.
Mm-hmm.
I love the intensity they play with, especially at home. Mm-hmm. And life happens cyclically. Life is rotations.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have Steph Curry, of course.
No.
And they're never going to be another Steph Curry. They don't have Draymond Green. They don't have Klay Thompson. But this Kings team right here, they feel a lot like these early Warriors teams where it's this super energetic, young team, nasty crowd, super hard to go on the road and play them. But now they got a new coach, and them niggas are ready to play some fucking defense.
They got an experienced coach.
Yep.
And I do look at their experience and say they can't go to the finals, but I don't look at their experience and say they can't. I do look at their experience and say they can make a Western Conference final.
Yeah.
Western Conference finals. I think they have the talent and the pieces to do that. I think they have the offense. I think they have the defense. I think they have the pieces.
Yep.
I think as you look at the 2015 Warriors, you look at De'Aaron Fox as a lesser Steph Curry. You look at Kevin Huerter as a lesser Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And Sabonis as a lesser Draymond Green. Do I think they can beat the Warriors? No. But do I think they can beat everybody else in the West other than probably Denver? Yes.
Yep.
Do I see them? I think these top three seeds stay out as they are. I think it will be the Nuggets, Kings, Nuggets, Grizzlies, and King in that order. I think the Grizzlies may get the one seed. And if you're the Grizzlies, you don't want to play the Kings in the second round. You're not going to beat them.
Hell,
I'm calling that right now. The Kings will beat the Grizzlies in the second round if they do see
them. Hey, shut up, Dylan Brooks.
I am calling that right now. I think the Warriors will get the sixth seed. And have to play the Kings in the first round, so maybe they'll knock them out. I mean, I'm lying. I think the Clippers and the Clippers and the Warriors will be the fourth or the fifth seed. So
okay.
They'll have to play the Nuggets in the second round and probably the each other in the first round.
Okay, yeah.
But if that does play out and the Grizzlies and Kings do play each other in the first rounds, I'm calling that the Kings do win that series. So
yeah.
I actually do have the same Western Conference Finals because I think that's how it's
going to
be. I think the Warriors will beat the Clippers in the first round. The Kings will beat the Kings will beat the Grizzlies in the second round, and the Warriors will beat the Nuggets again in the second round. We'll end that Jokic Steph stuff. Please stop that.
That shit is crazy.
That's just stupid, bro. He can't be on the court. Steph on the court. So, last thing I wanted to ask you.
We got some Sacramento love.
We've been potting for 2 hours, so hour and a half almost. So, one more question before we get out of here because my laptop is on 3%. We talked about Drake's set list in very small detail last show.
Yeah.
Go get that, all platforms you show me. We're looking at the set list, and it looks real crazy.
Yeah.
And before I ask this question, I do want to tell you guys, the internet, again, to shut up. Please shut up. I'm talking about Drake now. I'm going to post this clip. Please shut up. To everybody that had something to say about Drake wearing that pink fur, bringing out dipset, all of that, please shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
please.
That shit's crazy.
Because Drake loves rap. He is a rapper who loves rap.
Rats
his man. Favorite rappers are the guys that are now his peers, that he's looking at like, I'm one of you now.
Yep.
So yes, the pink fur means something to him because he was watching that shit just like you were, bro.
Exactly.
Thinking the same thing, like, damn, that shit hard. thinking the same thing, and he got to wear that and live out a dream in New York at the fucking Apollo, bro. Hey, listen, he's at the Apollo with some New York niggas with the fur on, my nigga. You know what type of dream come true was that, bro?
You know what I was thinking? I was like, listen, rap nerd Drake probably would have been just as mad as you. Just as mad as you were. Rap nerd Drake probably would have been so mad that this random guy had on Cam's jacket. But, you know, that's the way it
goes. But you're not Drake. So, yeah. Please shut up. Also, he really does love Dipset. I don't know if you know this, but he sampled them on Middle of the Ocean. The Middle of the Ocean beat, the second beat, is a sample of real niggas from the diplomatic community. That, so, like, this is real to him, bro. Yeah. And he samples old rap songs all the time. He quotes them all the time in his lyrics. Drake is true to this shit.
He just did a cover of Toni Forrest on a new album.
So, like, and he don't even like T.I. like that. So,
yeah, listen, do your googles.
Do your googles.
Do your googles. That's some shit I won't say over here.
To my point. And it's the pod, so you know it's great.
But that's open back. It's some shit I can't even say over here.
To my question.
Owls ain't coming for me.
People, get your camera phones out. I want to ask you this. And your answer cannot be Kanye West.
Right.
Drake put together one of the best set lists we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it can get better than this. Mm-hmm. But it's about 37 songs.
Yep.
Who would you like to see perform their greatest hits? And I said can't say Kanye West because that's his favorite rapper. That's my favorite rapper.
Oh, yeah.
So who would you like to go to a small venue to? We're not at Coachella. We're not at two big venues. We're at a small intimate venue, the Apollo, the Tabernacle here in Atlanta, or the Roxy here in a small venue, real intimate show. Like, this really for my fucking fans. Like, I like damn near like you gotta rap some songs to me to come to this confrontation.
So of course, the easy answers would be the biggest artists.
Mm-hmm. But, and that's why I asked you, because I knew you were going to say that.
So my early experience with TDE was really, really underground, looking for unreleased. And so my answer is going to be Kendrick.
Okay. That's a great answer.
Because Kendrick has the type of music that is perfect for that type of environment already. Mm-hmm. And those deep cuts, the cartoons and serials that you don't even know, like all these unreleased cartoons and serial tire marks. I can literally go on for days of songs that didn't come albums, or they were being made in a different time, so they weren't part of like a big Kendrick Lamar project that had been washed away.
Yes.
There are gems there that real Kendrick stands, which I consider myself really appreciate, because there's some songs that you just don't know you'll feel if you go to a Kendrick Lamar concert, the same way as if he's at the Apollo and Ronald Reagan era starts, and Absol's out there doing the outro, Drake got these niggas at the show, like in the vision I would have, Kendrick would have the TDE niggas at the show for this time in TDE where they were all on each other's music, they were all remixing everything. That would be my favorite one if I had to pick one, for sure.
That's beautiful. That's a perfect answer. So, our GOAT of this show, just in case you're tuning in, this is your first episode or something, thank you for joining us. But our GOATs are always the go-tos of the Wayne, Hove, Kanye, Drake.
Yeah.
We throw Kendrick in that conversation, but we don't talk about him as much, but because he doesn't release as much, that's honestly why. I'm going to stray away from those.
Yeah.
Because my first answer for me was like, I would love to go see Hove do a one night only at the Apollo.
Said that shit,
I'm like, that's the easy answer. So my answer was, in true Atlanta fashion, bro.
Okay.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Tabernacle. Give me T.I. for 2 hours.
Woo! T.I. will burn that bitch.
Give me T.I. for 2 hours. Because Quiet is kept. If you didn't see Prime T.I. perform, he puts on a fucking show.
That's a fact.
He puts on a fucking show. Prime T.I. for 2 hours would put on one of... Remember when niggas was laughing at him about the verses? Yeah. Like, nigga, you ain't with us.
Right, but that's
that would show him. Yeah, that's like, not he.
Yeah, that's T.I. Yeah.
Because the way he would be able to change the energy and control the crowd in this room, kind of like what Kendrick would be able to do, the exact same thing, just in a different way, because it's Atlanta. It's Atlanta music. Yeah. So the way he would be able to go from whatever you like to Let's Get Away to...
Blurred lines
to change the vibe, then we go into 20 Folds and Rubber Band Man and all of that, and then bring out Wayne. He can bring out Ross. He can bring out 2 Chainz. Yeah. He can bring out 2 Chainz. They can do Spinning. He can bring out Wayne. They can do mixtape shit. Yeah. They can do all. Like, it's just so many things. Intimate T.I. show, really, for some Atlanta niggas, would be phenomenal.
I have another answer. And you know what? We don't mention this guy a lot because I was worried he would probably sue us. And it cut out. So this will be video exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Wale.
That's a good one.
In the DMV.
That's a good one.
Give me 40 because I can go mixtapes about nothing, underground stuff. All those years where Wale was on the backpack side of rap, he can give me all those, but he can still give me the Lotus Flower Bombs and No Hands and all that stuff. But I think Wale in a venue like that where he can play the Lucy's, he can play the fan favorites. I would throw Wale in there.
So I had an underground rap, like a, I'm not going to put a grade on it because I don't disrespect nobody, but one of those type rappers of mine was 2 Chainz.
Okay.
I was gonna say 2 Chainz. I was like, because 2 Chainz really kind of the same way, can just control the room. He got some real ones, like everybody knows, and he can bring out anyone. Like the same thing, he can bring out Ross Lane, Drake, all of them. So like 2 Chainz in Atlanta would be crazy too. I don't want that. And Quiet as Kept, Pretty Girls Like Trap Music is one of them. It's one of them. So
look, I think I was listening to, was it called Blue Cheese?
Blue Cheese with Beatles.
Yes, it's Sharpie.
Oh my God.
Right,
but thank you for joining us, episode 17. This wraps us up. This episode will be up. Doesn't matter. I keep doing that shit. but like, subscribe, comment, YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. If you are listening to podcasts, you didn't see this part. So you didn't hear this part. So shout out to y'all. Thank y'all for joining us.
Shout out to y'all. Make it to the end of the YouTube.
And clap it up for us for being right now. Yeah.